Good morning, Grace Breakers. Today is Monday, August 4th, 2014, and thank you so much for joining me this morning, or if you are listening to the recording. Again, happy summer. We are in the dog days of summer here in Western Montana and loving the heat. Okay, not so much, but everything in our garden is blooming. We have vegetables, fruit. Everything is on the vine. So I ask you, what in your life, your vocation, your family, your relationship, what's on the vine that you're nurturing today? And today we're going back to April of this year when Mary Riesberg was a guest, and we're going to replay her show today, not only because it's full of faith, but it's inspired, and I believe in the summer season we are in, Mary's message is even more viable than it was earlier this year. Look up and out, my friends, and enjoy again, Mary Riesberg. Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Grace Break. This is Tracy Worley, and I am excited and of always looking forward to Monday's guest, and today it is Mary Riesberg. And Grace Break is all about refining energy, movement, and thought, and Mary will share with us from her book, God, Me, and My Hula Hoop, which is finding that balance and momentum in your walk with Christ, and finding that balance in our personal and professional life always equals success. And a little bit about Mary. Mary is a communication expert, skills expert, professional speaker, leadership trainer, and author who works with individuals to empower them to have confidence in public speaking. She has over 24 years of experience transforming beginners, professional speakers, radio and news personalities, government officials, and singers to become a total impact speaker. And I just love that about you, Mary. And Mary and I have met through the John Maxwell team. So we've known each other and about each other for a couple of years now, and it is my pleasure and honor to have you on the show this morning.
Well, thank you, Tracy. It is my pleasure to be on your show. I have been looking forward to this for some time back many months ago when we were talking about this, and it's just been on my heart, and I've prayed about our time together, and anybody who would be on the show that everybody's been praying for, that this is just going to reach many people and the message is going to be clear and that God can just do his work through this time together with us.
Absolutely. I love it. Love it. And as we get started, I want to let our listeners know that are already listening that we will be giving away a copy of your book today as well. So about halfway through the show, we'll ask people to call in, and the first caller will get a copy of the book. How's that sound?
Great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Then I can sign it and get it off to them. I'll sign it personally to them with a message.
Ooh,
and get it to them.
A personally signed copy.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you hear loud noises, just so you and your listeners know, there is a terrible rainstorm coming through our area right now. I'm over in Florida, down in Florida. So it's that if you hear anything, that's that in the background.
Okay, perfect.
So you know.
And then if we lose you, we'll just think that it's lightning striking?
Well, I'm hoping that will not be the case. But if it should, then I'll call right back because I'm
okay.
On my cell phone. So we're good, but you just might hear some extra noises. Or it could be a great sound effect. Maybe that's it.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So as we move into Grace Break, and in your particular journey, when even men in our reference circle, hula hoop, I mean, you are able to get the guys so excited about hula hooping and what the analogy and what it stands for. So can you just let our audience know what the hula hoop is and how it was brought into the focus of your book?
Absolutely. The hula hoop itself is used as a metaphor for your personal space, your area of influence, you know, your personal bubble sometimes. But most importantly, the way that it was revealed to me to use a hula hoop was that it is this area of space around us. You know, if you think of a hula hoop, you're standing in it and you're moving around, or the hoop's moving around you and your body's moving around too. But for me, in the center of everything, what keeps that balance and momentum going is Christ. And without Christ really being our force for movement and change in our life and change in our thinking, just like the hula hoop, without Christ being in the center of everything, it falls. Things go out of balance, and the hoop crashes to the ground. And then how can we find that balance and momentum again? And for me, the beautiful thing that I like to share is that just like in anything, in any part of our life or where we're at or no matter what we're doing, or even if we're doing something as simple as hula hooping, that Christ is in the center of everything when Christ is in the center of us.
I love it. And I don't know if you've seen it or not, but this particular episode I uploaded some photos, and one of the photos is with you and John Maxwell hula hooping.
Yes, that was wonderful. That was so good. So it was something I didn't anticipate on, but oh, what a memory.
That was a great time for sure. And so as we go in here, page 99, you start talking about your own personal story.
Mm-hmm.
Of being at a low point, and this is where we enter into realities we didn't necessarily ask for or planned for in our life. And in particular, you're talking about going through a couple of years of divorce proceedings and in and out mm-hmm. of the courtroom, and how the balance and where you found solid ground in that.
Probably much like, you know, many people who go through, whether it be a divorce or just that time in your life when it's not what it's nothing that you plan for. You don't necessarily anticipate it when you go into, of course, going into marriage is nothing that I anticipated, but it ended up in that particular situation. And it can be in so many different scenarios and in different parts of somebody's lives. And right now, you know, it could be in a relationship area, which I talk about as one of the aspects you look at in your personal life and putting Christ in the center of that in your hoop, but it can be something even financial. So many of the people that I know are just in financial crisis, not anticipating it, but it's something that they're having to deal with. So it's a matter that no matter what area of your life you find that you might be struggling in, or it might be going really smooth, but are you putting Christ at the center of it? And at that particular time when I was going through the divorce, I had nowhere else to lean but on Christ, because it was like being caught in the center of a tornado, and everything is whirling around you, and you cannot find the way out until the cloud just disappears. And you're in the midst of that cloud. What can keep you calm in that center? For me, it was just finding my deeper relationship with Christ and really turning the hardships that I was going through over to him, and just trusting and knowing and believing and having the faith that he was going to be there with me and was there with me. I'm not even was going to, but he was there with me when I was preparing to go meet with the attorneys again and again. And when I had to go into court again, that he was just already ahead of me. He had already paved the way. And it was my belief in the fact that he had already been there and that he was waiting for me when I entered in the room, sitting next there, but right there with me through everything, that got me through those extremely difficult years when, had I not had Christ at the center of my life, and I'll be honest, he wasn't there all the time, but when I really stopped and I thought about, okay, Christ, I know you're here, you're going to be there for me. I know you're here with me right now as I'm in this room in front of this judge, in front of this attorney, that I could put all of my my pressures over on him, and he would carry the burdens for me, which allowed me to get through those really difficult days.
And that's such a mature walk of a place to think about it is, I know he paved the way before I got there. And so often, you know, we worry and we toil about the things that we don't have control over. Mm-hmm. Is there some particular reading or scripture that you stumbled onto or you knew about to just put yourself in the relaxed state as much as you could be to know that he's already paved the way before I walked into the courtroom?
At that time, there was not a particular scripture that I would kind of go over. I grew up not memorizing scripture. That was not the way I was raised. I was raised in the church, in Roman Catholic church, so I was not one to really memorize scripture. But I'll say my go-to scripture when it comes to something like that, or mm-hmm. when I really have to think about putting him first in my thinking, I go to Romans 12:2. And that do not be conformed any longer with the ways of the world, but renew your mind daily so that your actions are that of the, and I'm paraphrasing this in part, but that of the good pleasing God and what he wants you to do. But it's that renewing of my mind daily and renewing of my thinking all the time. And that's even in the beginning of the book where I think it's so, so important for us to really think about what we're thinking about, and so oftentimes we don't do that. We never stop long enough to think. We're in the moment, we think for the moment, and then we're gone. But mm-hmm. to really spend time in meditation and prayer and thinking about what it is I need to be thinking about in these situations that you know are going to be coming up. So you kind of go in armored and ready before you go into a situation.
Right.
And when that happens now, I feel like, okay, one, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to place God right there already. He's there already. He's been there already. And how does he want me to think, act, and respond when I'm in my little hula hoop space in those situations? When I'm there, what can I do to glorify him in those times, whether it's the difficult times or when things are really easy? And mm-hmm. I need to give my blessings and maybe say thank you for everything you've done instead of, oh, please help me through it. It's just the gratitude that comes for the things that he does, but really taking the time to think about that as well during those times.
And when we go through this, and in your book, it is chock full of exercises. You have space in here for writing, thoughts and comments. And where you really take us is in obedience and change. And
yes.
That's obedience is one word. I usually have a couple of different words I work on yearly, and that word keeps coming up. So I think that that's going to be a word for me in 2014.
It's a hard word.
It really is. And not only is just saying the word is following through on it. And as we're going through and thinking about the center and putting Christ in everything that we do, and then, of course, being in the Word every day and giving the armor that we need to move through in his work, what's some tools in that obedient realm that you could give us today?
And again, and obedience is kind of one of the latter chapters, you know, in the book. And building up to that, you've kind of gained this momentum, I would say, in the way that you're thinking. And you would have more than likely seen outward change in behavior, but most importantly, inward change in your heart and in your thinking. And when obedience comes, you're more prepared for it. And it's still not an easy thing to do, but it is what I believe a crucial thing that God calls us to do is really be obedient to what his call is for us and his trust that he's going to be there no matter what the outcome is. It's hard to say a simple exercise or a simple thing to think of, because obedience is different for so many different people, and how they even interpret the word obedient. It could be a very negative connotation, depending on how their thinking was in the past and what their belief system is, or it can be a very positive word in that obedience brings change. And it looks at, you know, where are you coming from to build you up to really be obedient to the call that God has placed on your life. And for me, very importantly, what purpose has he called you to fulfill while you're here on this earth? What does he need you to do? And being obedient oftentimes means going way out of your comfort zone and doing things you never thought you would do, like hula hooping up on stage. Or would I have ever imagined that so many years ago? Absolutely not. But, well, hey, I'll do it now, and I may look like a fool, but I will do it. And it's something, again, it can be simple, but it can also be the obedience to really have to make those inward changes that we have to do in order to be ready for his call for us. And that could be really reframing the way that you think about how God is working in your life, trusting that God has worked in your life and that he's working for you, and having the faith, not knowing yet what he has in store for us, but being obedient to his word and what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, and following through with that. And that, quite honestly, Tracy, that comes from practice in doing it and doing it and doing it until the point of obedience. There's not so much a question of it anymore. You do it because you know you have to do it, and there's just not a question. And you just know that you're going to be given everything you need to fulfill what it is that God is calling you to do. And are you willing to step out in obedience and fulfill it? And I use in my book just kind of analogy that when you kind of like leap off of a cliff, or you're going through this open doorway and you don't know where it's going to lead, just envision that you're holding hands with Jesus and you're just going to jump, because he's there with you anyway. He's already there with you. So it's being obedient to that call.
And I think you hit it right on, as far as everybody has a different connotation of what obedience is. And for me, and why it really is a word for me to work on in 2014, is that purpose and the gifts that I've been given, and being obedient in that. When I'm not obedient and I'm not walking through those doors that he is opening for me, I get a little lost. I get a little anxious. Things don't quite go as well as I want to, and then it goes into that momentum. And I know on page 144 you talk about the momentum and what that means, and how it takes us into a life of success, whether it's personal or professional. It's that momentum. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the page 144. The hoop: your momentum is easier and smoother. You balance the areas of life with less effort. While the hoop continues to spin around you, there is a greater sense of closeness and relationship with the Lord. You are working as his vessel or conduit to share the gospel. And that's just really with our gifts and everything else. And it's looking outward toward the surrounding areas of our life and upward. And this really spoke to me because I love to think and say, look up and out.
And I saw that.
Looking up to the Lord and looking out to the future. And everything else around us, is the hoop, takes care of itself. And that's the momentum in the different thought process. And through your workbook and this journey, it really is a sound and grounded way to take us through that process. So I really appreciated that, for sure. And then reread the book. I read this book like a year ago, so I've reread it for our time today, and then, of course, obedience comes up, so that's why I'm tagging on to that word today. but with the momentum, talk to us a little bit about balance and how we can keep that balance as we're looking up and out and not at our feet.
Yes, or just spinning around while you're in the hoop, you know, yourself sometimes that happens too, not knowing where to go first. And
right.
You know, all the way up through the book, in each chapter of the book, you'll just find different, like you said, exercises that you can do that you just build upon. So they're like building blocks, and you can move around the book different chapters, but beginning at the beginning and then kind of going through it, you'll just see that the momentum builds, and as the momentum builds, the balance stabilizes because you have a smoother momentum to it and you're not having to worry so much about the balance. Now, I've heard many people say that balance in life is not possible. I don't know if you've heard that from other people, but trying to find life balance is a waste of time. I disagree. And there are very, very well-known people who say that you know, finding balance is kind of not worth the time. But I think it is worth the time, and I think there is the possibility that we can find it. Now, it may be fleeting at times, depending on where we are in our life, but if we can find the balance in looking at the areas of our life and really focusing in on what would Christ have me do if you were in the center of everything, what do I need to do so I cannot be focused just on me and what's going on, but how does he need to use me and use the reactions and the words for me so I can share that with other people. And to me, that goes back to the verse in Matthew, you know, in Matthew 5, 14, 16, I believe, about being the salt and light of the world. And how can I shine my light outward like a beacon for others and really glorify the Lord? And to me, that's part of balance because it's not all about me. And woe is me in my ways, because I know that with Christ, he's already setting the way out there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to find that and believe that, you will find that balance will come in your life. You're still going to have possibly 1,000 things to do in a day, let's say. I hear people say, I have just so many things to do. I can't figure it out. I can't find balance anywhere. You know, I've got family. I've got a spouse. I have a relationship, my finances. And you're just pulled in so many different directions. But if you could take those areas of your life that really are out of balance, let's say, at a particular time, mm-hmm. and pull them in the center where Christ is, could you regain that balance again? My answer is yes, you could.
Absolutely.
If you put it in
the center.
And
every day is different, especially those who have 1,000 things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every day. And, you know, I know that you probably coach people too. It's like, what's your list? What are you doing today? And more than likely, they're out of alignment because they're doing activities that are mm-hmm. not in alignment with their value set. That are not in alignment with where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that is what I have found, you know, very useful with the book and the tools that are in it, but it helps you find some underlining, at least the beginning steps of what the purpose is that God has called you for. And when you can see that and you vision that, and you see, and you may not even know how that's going to unravel yet. You don't have a clue what the hell it's going to look like. You don't even know yet. But once you get that, then you start being able to make, you know, even as the Bible says, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. And you really, you live by that. And mm-hmm. you can start taking off probably half of the things on your plate that you're having to do, or 50% of the things in your day that really you feel require your time, but are they obedient to what God is calling you to do? Or are they things you want to do? And when you can make those distinctions and you're willing to make that adjustment, you will find that things will fall into balance better for you, faster for you. And again, sometimes balance may be a fleeting thing. Just like when you hula hoop, sometimes you lose momentum and it falls to the ground. But, you know, hey, the great thing is we can pull it back up and get it going again. And you can keep that momentum going. I mean, you can hula hoop forever. I mean, if you're good. If you have balance, you know, or no momentum. So,
I couldn't even get the hoop going.
Yeah, you know, I know what people mean by saying, you know, live life out of balance and be okay with it, be comfortable with it, and I get it. But I want to strive for a perfect balance with God in the center of my life. That's what I strive for.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, as we're moving forward through this, and our time always goes really fast. We have a caller, so
okay.
I'm going to pick up the caller and see who's called in for a copy of your book today.
Oh, great.
Okay, so here we go. Good morning. Welcome to Grace Break.
Hi.
Who's on the line with us this morning?
This is Susan Bowman.
Hello, Susan. So great to hear your voice.
Thank you. It took me a little bit to get in, but I finally got in. I'm not usually at my computer this early on Monday morning, but this morning I was.
Well, I'm so glad that you joined us. Do you have any questions or comments for Mary this morning?
No, I'm trying to soak it in. It was a pretty rough week last week, so balance is really important to start out this week.
All right. Well, I guess there's a reason why you're at your computer today.
Yeah, trying to get a jump start.
Yeah.
Well,
so Susan,
I'll be in prayer for you for balance.
Yeah.
Thank you. I could use it.
Certainly. Susan, I know how to get a hold of you, so I will give Mary your mailing information for a signed book.
Great. I look forward to it, definitely.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Look up and out.
Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
And we're out. Well, that's exciting. Actually, collaborate with Susan on some projects, and we mastermind together. So loved hearing her voice today. And
wonderful.
And she was able to join us. So that's fun. I wanted to kind of finish up our bulk of our time here talking about grace. And on page 105 in the book, you know, God will provide for you an abundance of grace. And for me, you know, grace is the mercy and opening the doors if we're obedient and
mm-hmm.
looking for opportunity to be more tomorrow than we are today. So talk to us about grace and how this molds into that balance and momentum of success in our life.
Some of it, and I would say it's, and it, I'm going to start just very briefly going back to believing that you've been given an abundance of grace. It goes back to the thinking and truly having that, the trust and the faith that the grace is there for you and God's going to give it to us because we by no means are perfect, and he knows our flaws already. He knows where we're weak, and he knows where we're going to stumble and fall and when the hoop's going to fall. But
mm-hmm.
because of the love that God has for us, which is a love greater than we will ever imagine, it is bigger than anything we will ever experience in our lives. His love is so great for us that he gives us the grace to be who we are, flawed in everything, and still know that he can use us for his purpose. And it's the trust that we can be used in his plan because of grace and the forgiveness and the emotional release that can come with a forgiveness because of grace to ourselves and to others. And knowing that if we go out tomorrow and he's called us to do something and being obedient and we hear the Holy Spirit working within us to go do something way out of what we might normally do, but we're really being called to go do this, that even if for some reason we don't do it perfect, which we're not going to do anyway, then God's grace is already there. It's already there for us. And we just really have to believe that. And when we believe that, I have found that people then really become open to the fact that they have a purpose. And then that purpose is going to mean that they step out in obedience. But not
mm-hmm.
only that, that they can fail and it's okay because of God's grace.
And that's
if I could add really quick. Yeah, I mean, God's grace,
right.
But we're supposed to have a similar grace with other people. So.
Mm-hmm.
Expecting that from other, you know, we need to be the grace givers to other people as well.
Absolutely, because I ask people for grace all the time, and my assumption is that they're going to give it to me. But sometimes I do outwardly ask